It is a joy to be back here tonight at Faith, and I do appreciate and thank the church for the opportunity to come. And it's just our prayer to be used of God tonight. Not that we're anything but a man that's been called by God to go out and preach. And I do desire your prayers. If you have your Bibles, I'm going to be reading out of 1 John chapter 5. That's where I'll be starting at. As Brother Ron said, I do desire your prayers, not only for our home church, but all the other churches that are without pastors. There's many. And we would all just seek God out to who needs to be there. First John chapter 5, starting with verse 9, says, "If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he heareth us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him." And I'm going to stop my reading right there. I was praying and thinking about, I was just thinking and praying, to be quite honest. But I started over in 2 Peter in the first chapter, very familiar verse of scripture over there. It says, "Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance." You know, Peter here thought it was necessary to stir us up by putting us in remembrance, and I believe it's of what God has done for us. And if you've been saved by the grace of God, you know there's a world of people out here that we come in contact with, and we none know who's looking at us. And I'm very thankful for each time that the Lord gives us an opportunity to talk to somebody. But you know, lots of times somebody sees something in us that's a little bit different, and they wonder about it. And you know, we should be ready to tell them about the blessed assurance that we have. You know, I was at work one day and having a pretty tough time of it, I guess you'd say, just kind of a busy day, a stressful time, and I just got to singing to myself, "Blessed Assurance." And after I sung it, I had to excuse myself. I had to go outside just for a few minutes of time, because I was so overwhelmed by what God has given me and what it means and what it feels like in here. There's a world of people out there that if you talk to about that, they think you've lost your mind. So many people out there are relying that they've done enough good works, or that they've lived good enough, or that they've prayed enough, or whatever the case may be. They don't think a man can know that you've been saved until that day that you stand before Jesus. And I'm here to tell you, according to this scripture here, that we can know. You know, if you turn over to Proverbs, I believe it's the 12th or the 14th chapter, along about the 12th verse, I think it is. It says, "There is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof is death." You know, and there's a way out there that men's coming up with, and we all know about these people. They've come up with a way that they sidestepped a little bit of what we call the old-fashioned knee-right way of salvation, the condemnation that you feel in your heart, and they've changed it and made it to be when you turn and look toward God and believe in God, all of a sudden that's salvation, and that's not salvation. That's changing your mind, and that's starting to look in the right direction is what that is, but that's not salvation. Salvation comes after God convicts that heart. When that condemnation gets heavy and that conviction sets in, the godly sorrow that he puts there, and then you know that there's been something, it was a great weight taken off of me that night that the Lord saved my soul. That's the best way I can describe it. It was just like I was just as light as a feather when I come off of that altar at Maysville Church that night. Just as a 12-year-old boy, it felt like I just walked on a cloud out of the church. Why? Because I was in trouble. There was been trouble placed there by God. When I got to church that night, I wasn't lost. But during the song service is when the Lord broke my heart, and he broke it heavy. And that night, as I sat by the window and looked out, it was just black. And I knew that I had to go to that altar. I knew. And people ask you, how do you know? Because God lets you know. If you're lost and you want to be saved, God will let you know. But I want you as saved individuals tonight to think about at that time and how much trouble. You know, we should be able to tell somebody what we have faith in. That if you turn back in the very first verse of that fifth chapter, it said, "Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him, that begot loveth him, also that he is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments." You know, that love that's in us, it bubbles up. And it's so good when we can share that with somebody. And you know, and even if you get to the point, and I've heard people say they doubt it. And I've always said I didn't doubt it. But I guess that's somewhat not true. Because that night when I came up off the altar, I didn't tell anybody. They didn't run to me and ask me if I felt a little bit better. They didn't crowd me. They didn't, as far as I know, nobody touched me while I was seeking the Lord. But I really wasn't looking for a touch from them. I was looking for a touch from an almighty God. That night, I was looking to be relieved of that great weight, that trouble that was in my heart. I was looking for that to be took away. And I didn't have no special words for prayer. I was just a simple little country boy that all I knew to do is to go up there and pray. And I asked God, and he helped me. He granted me the faith I needed. He does that. A lot of people think they have to meet a certain expectation. They have to meet certain steps before they can get saved, of knowing how to pray and knowing Scripture. I couldn't have quoted a verse of Scripture that night if my life had depended on it. Why? I just didn't pay that close of attention, I guess. I was made to go to church, but I couldn't quote Scripture. But that wasn't what the Lord required of me that night. He required me to go to that altar and seek him with my whole heart. But as I thought about that, you know, I think about knowing that we're saved. And people, I talk to people and they say, "Well, I don't know that you can know, or that maybe you can lose it. Maybe you got to get saved again." Well, you talk to them about how that would put, turn over there to the Hebrews, the sixth chapter, that would be putting God to open shame if we crucified him again, if that were even possible for us to lose it. When you talk to people about that, then they just don't know. They don't want to have that full assurance. Why? Because Satan is powerful, and Satan convinces them that they can't have it. But see, if you turn over to the book of Romans, the 8th verse, and I'm just going to read this one verse of Scripture. The 8th chapter, the 16th verse, it says, "The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." You know, if we want to know, that's the goodness of God. If we want to know, all we have to do is ask him. And as I heard a brother say this morning up there at Cedar Grove, you know, he said, "I doubted mine." He said, "Because I was brought up in another denomination." He said, "I doubted that I'd been saved, that I'd kept it." He said, "But God takes me back to that very spot when I ask him." And that's the way he'll do with any of us. I've had family members say, "You know, I doubted it, but God took me back." Amen. And God will. But what I would like to encourage you to do tonight is to remember that we're walking among people that tell us that they don't know, or that they doubt they've got it, or they hope they've prayed enough. And I love these people that I work with. Don't get me wrong. I love them. And I love to talk to them. But they're so hung up on this living a good enough life. And you know, none of us can live a good enough life to get to heaven. And I know there's people out there that try to teach that and practice that. But none of us can live good enough to get to heaven. There's only been one that came to this earth, and that's the one that I just read about a while ago, the account, the record that God has given us of His Son, and we believed on Him, and that night I believed on that man called Jesus. You know, if you start looking at religions, and I looked at this a while back, I was talking to some preacher friends of mine, and if you look at religions, they all tell you, you know, about God on the mountain. And you know that all the paths, religious paths, they all lead to the same spot. Well, according to the scriptures, we can't go up that mountain to God. According to those scriptures, if you go back there to the book of Exodus, when God was telling Moses there to sanctify himself and then come back up there before he got the Ten Commandments, he told it, said, "You set bounds about the mountain because I'm coming down, but they can't come up on that mountain or they'll be killed." You know, if you think about that, and the sweet peace that I have in knowing is that there was one that came off of that mountain for each and every one of us. That man named Jesus. He came from the portals of heaven, took upon flesh, and came and lived and died, gave up everything he had, gave his life, that we may have a way to get back in perfect communication with God. Because our best is His filthy rags. And you know, if you talk to people, and I've talked to people about this before, and if you turn over to 2 Timothy, the first chapter, in the sixth verse, you know, Paul writing there, it says, "Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God." You know, if you think about that, and I ask y'all to pray for my son. He's dating a girl, and this is the power of testimony. And the power that God, when God's Spirit manifests Himself in a service, this is what it can do. And we all know that the Scripture teaches us to let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And when we do that, it waters the Word of God and it makes it real. Because this young lady had never been taken to church very much. And my son cares a whole lot about her. And he wants her to be saved. And she's willing to go to church with us sometime. So y'all pray for us. And I told him, I said, be sure you take her to a sound church. A place that preaches and practices the truth. Because one day at New Bethel, she'd always told Timmy, said, "Well, now, I prayed before." And he come in there and woke me up one night, just visibly upset. He said, "Daddy, I need to talk to you." Said, "What do I tell Hannah?" Says, "She don't know about being saved. Says she's never been to church, but just every once in a while with her grandmother." Said, "What do I tell her?" I said, "Tell her your testimony." I said, "Tell her that testimony." I said, "Start right there." I said, "And God will fill in the rest of it." Well, she told him, said, "Well," said, "now I've prayed before and I felt a little bit better." There's a world of people out there that felt a little bit better after praying. Why? Because the self-righteousness that we possess as human beings, we're very good at justifying ourselves, and we're very good at telling God, going to Him in prayer. How many of us, and I'm talking about saved people, how many of us go to God and we tell God what we need, what we need to have, and then we go to God to give Him the answer instead of going to God, as Brother Robin said a while ago, sometimes we just need to know what to pray for. We need to take time to be still and be quiet. And listen to what God would have us. But as Timmy talked to her about it, she said, "Yeah, I felt better before after praying." And Timmy said, "Well, I got to the point that I just couldn't do anything but pray. I couldn't do anything but go to," and he'll tell you, it's on the back pew at New Bethel's where he got saved at. And he told her that. But she came to church, and we had a very good service one day of people. The preacher preached a message and he got done and people started testifying, and then this one started testifying, and the more they testified, the more restless she got. Well, it got to the point that we sang the Days of the Week song, and my wife got happy and she shouted, and the girl about jumped over the top of Timmy and scared her to death. She said, "I didn't know what was going on." See, that's what lets them know, because after that she called Timmy after he took her home. She said, "I need to talk to you. He was taking my mama home." And he said, "Okay." He said, "I'll call you on my way home." So she called him as soon as he got in the car on the way home from Mama's. And she said, I want you to know, she said, I thought I'd prayed and felt better before. She said, I know now I don't have what them people have. She said, them people talking about praying and crying and knowing that they're saved, she said, I've never had that happen before. So the next time you think, well, they've heard my testimony enough, think about that. Because, you know, there may be somebody that needs to hear it. I don't believe God has ever given a message that somebody didn't need to hear. I never heard one and walked out thinking, well, I didn't really have to be here today because I'll get something out of it. The Lord will bring it back to our memory, and it may be somebody that you're talking to. And all of a sudden, God brings it back. I remember what Brother Ron was talking about and share it with him. Or I remember what somebody said in their testimony and share it with them. You know why? Because we have blessed assurance, people. We have something that the world, you know, they can take our life. And I thank God that we live in a land and country right now that we have the freedom together as we do here today and worship the Lord as we see fit and the way we should do it. But it may not always be that way. They may start trying to limit us of what we can say. They say it's already happening in other countries. You can say certain things, but there's certain things you cannot say. They're limited. They're trying to shut it down. And it could happen here. You may say, no, this is the United States. It'll never happen here. Well, we've got forefathers that fought and died for this country that we can have this today. And we still need to be praying for our leaders, just as the Scripture teaches. Why? Because I don't know if they've been saved by the grace of God or not, but I know my God can get them turned right or left, ever how He needs them to go, to get His will done. But He expects us as God's children to pray. And He'll heal our land. I believe our land, I believe our country still going today the way it is because of prayers of God's people. I believe that's the reason we're still worshiping the way we are, that we still have the religious liberties that we have here is because of the prayers of our forefathers, the ones that held on, the ones that prayed before they ever got to church, the ones that prayed and knew that they had been, that's over in the Corinthian letter, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, I think it is. Let me turn over there, I don't want to mess it up. Verse 20 says, for you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You know, our forefathers, it seemed like they had their focus more Monday through Saturday on God. So when they got to church on a Sunday, it was easy.
Amen.
Now we get to church on Sunday and we say, oh yeah, I need to pray. And then we get to worrying about the ones that are sick, the ones that we've been in contact with all week. And we worry about those that are sin sick and headed for hell. Then we get to thinking about them. And then we get so worried that we don't get to where we can truly pray to God. You may say, what do you mean? That's harsh. I've done it. Honestly, I've done it. Why? Because I didn't get ready for church before I got there. I believe getting ready for church is a Monday through Saturday thing. And then Sunday morning when you get up, it should be easy. Now the devil's going to be there to throw something in your way. We all know that. But the heart part should already be in place. And as you know, as I thought about this and prayed about it, how, you know, there's so many people out there. They don't want to believe the account that God gives. They want to take a few verses of Scripture and they want to say, well, this one don't line up with this one. It contradicts. That's why you can't go on the Bible. If you truly search the Scripture out and you break it down to what the original text meant, I believe you'll find that they all fit jointly together perfectly. That's what we believe. As old-fashioned Baptists, we believe that it all goes together and that it teaches us. And I'll share this with y'all, and I feel like I'm about done. I had this discussion with a few young men that I work with, and I may have shared this before because this is an ongoing thing. They're trying to convince me that I was a Protestant or that I am a Protestant. And they said, you've got to be a Protestant or a Catholic. I said, no, I'm a Baptist. and they don't understand. And I took them, and thanks be to God, I took them the Trail of Blood. I said, will y'all read this? This is why I believe that I can go back to the Scriptures and prove that we were never part of something to protest. We wasn't a part of that. You know, if you turn over to Revelation, how it talks about that red dragon, about how Satan had his way and it was paving the way for that Roman Catholic Church to come into being there. But we wasn't a part of that, people. We were a part of the original. We were a part of the one that when Jesus walked along, picking those fishermen, saying, come, follow me. The tax collector, come, follow me. That's what we come out of. I believe we can go all the way back to then with ours. And I know y'all believe that too. But if you wonder about it any at all, turn back and read that Trail of Blood. And it'll give you much more appreciation of what our forefathers has went through that we have this today. Am I willing to do that? Sometimes Brother Tim's faith is weak. My wife will tell you that. Sometimes it just seems like the whole world is just closing in on us. You think, oh, Lord, what am I going to do? But I feel just like that one over there in Mark, where he took his son that was possessed by a demon, took him over there, and Jesus healed his son, and then he asked Jesus to help his unbelief. I've had to do that too. Lord, help my unbelief. Why? Because I'm human, and sometimes the human side of me gets over the spiritual side. But I am thankful that God has surrounded me with a lot of good, God-fearing people, and one of them is my wife, and she's not scared to remind me every once in a while, you need to practice what you preach. You need to exercise that faith. And I may not be anybody else here that has to go through that, but I do. And you know, I talked to a man the other day. He was having a pretty rough time of it. And he said, I've went to the end of my rope. I can't go no further. I said, now's the time to go down on your knees. You may say, well, what kind of advice is that? That's the best I can give anybody.
Amen.
You know, when, and I know Brother Ron, I guess this is one of the last messages I've heard him preach. Last few anyway. Talked about over there with Elijah. You know, the prophets of Baal had been slain, and then Jezebel threatened him. And he goes and hides in a cave. And I guess he's just spiritually spent. And he has to rest. And then the angel of the Lord tells him, arise. You know, we're still going. We're still going. We have trying times. But you know what? When we think we're down in that valley, God is still with us. You know, I'm thankful that I have that blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste. Every once in a while I get a foretaste of what it's going to be like. You know, and I know we hear a lot about heaven anymore. But my prayer is that we, as God's people, could get what my granny said, if we could get a glimpse of heaven, that we would truly realize what the ones that are sin sick, that are lost and dying, what they're going to go to. Because that's where they're headed. Our friends and loved ones and our neighbors, they're headed for hell. If we could only get a glimpse of that, we may get ourselves in a better shape that we could serve the Lord. And maybe nobody else needed to hear this message tonight but me. But I beg you to pray for me. Pray for me and my family. And I am thankful again to be here. But the Lord's done with me, and I'm going to turn it back over to Brother Ron.
Bless you. Thank you. I appreciate it. Brother Tim following the Lord tonight. He just gave us a second sermon on blessed assurance. You know how many times he said it? At least four times. He even said full assurance at least once. He read from Hebrews, or quoted a scripture from Hebrews chapter 6, that's what I read from today. Read from chapter. But when we look at that word assurance, what did we say it was? Conviction, which means the act of convincing or compelling one to admit the truth of a charge. Are we convinced yet that God wanted us to hear this message?
Amen.
Twice in one day?
Amen.
He brought in the other things that went right along with make sure Jesus is the foundation of our hope and our faith, leaning the entire human personality on God and absolute trust and confidence, His power. He said a lot of people don't have power when they come to church because they wait to church to pray to come to church. And we ought to be doing that all through the week, right? And when we do that, we'll understand His wisdom and His goodness. And He talks about how He cares for others. He's talking about the people that He cares for that don't know the truth. And how that our testimony is a witness to help them. You say, well, you have notes. Well, I know y'all took notes. I'm not telling you anything you didn't hear today already, right?
Right.
And who does that? I didn't call him up. He called up the same one I called up this morning, and he told us almost the same message. You ready to preach again?
I'm done, mate.
Okay. Let's have a song come around and you shake his hand. I hope that will help all of us. He said it was for him, but it's for all of us. That blessed assurance, that blessed full assurance to know. A lot of it's up to us in our daily walk, where we are. Come on up, folks. I appreciate that. Here's another song.
It's online. You can listen to it.
Yeah.
Page 286.
I encourage people to follow, listen to his message today. Talk to Hannah about her name. You see, her name, Hannah, means grace. That's That's what that means. When you discover the amazing grace of God, then she'll understand what her name even represents. But Hannah, she was a woman that prayed, and when you look at the Hebrew translation of the name Hannah, it's the same name, grace. That's what it means. So you pray for Timmy. Pray for this young Hannah. Anybody have anything on your heart?
I think we're saying 2 weeks.
You do? All right. The request we send the days of the week.
Somebody touch me. Glory, glory, glory. Somebody touch me. Glory, glory, glory. Somebody touch me. Glory was the hand of the Lord.
hard to see.
It sort of bothered me, but I didn't know what day it was. I was in the church one time, and they said, if you don't know what day it was, get up on the Sunday after. I'm not going to do it. I might be lying to the Lord.
Right.
I don't know what day it was. So they said, well, on the great day then. So that's the first time I heard it, you know, on the great day. So that's when I got up.
Amen.
But I know when it was. The Lord knows when it was, but I don't know what day it was.
Amen.
I know it's there.
It's a great day.
That happened at Maple Grove.
Number two.
Maple Grove number two. Got to be specific.
There's too many of
them. That's right. Somebody else have something on your heart.
I want to thank the Lord for saving my soul. You know, it's always good to thank Him for all your blessings and saving your soul and everything. But some people say good works get you to heaven. That's a lie. It doesn't work that way.
That's right.
God reaches down and touches you in the heart and says, you're lost. And I bet you, I don't bet, but I think if you pray hard enough and you ask the Lord that He will save you.
Amen. Good advice. Amen. Thank you, Danny Brody. Bless you. Anyone else? He touched me in Jamaica when the wasp was running after us. I mean,
he touched me every day, but not like he did that night.
Boy, I understand that too. Anybody else? I appreciate everybody coming. Pray for us. Pray for each other. Pray for me on Tuesday. Pray for Rhonda. She's the only one who knows what my subject is. And I'm upset about my subject, and I think it's got her more tied up in knots than it does me. And that, maybe that's not good. I don't know. But I told her a long time ago not to ask, but I was supposed to teach or preach on it because the Lord might change it. He might change it before Tuesday, so I just leave it in His hands. It's whatever He wants, you know. But I don't have all my lesson ready. And same with the old union. I've known for 2 years what I'm supposed to teach on. But when it comes up to it, you can get up there, but it's what He wants and what He speaks. That's what matters. It's not what at that particular time. So. You pray for us, let the Lord just work it out the way He wants it. Anybody else have anything on your heart?
As far as our revival, we have a 4-day revival starting the second Sunday in March.
Second Sunday in March. All right.
Wednesday night, 9:30, I believe.
Okay. Fried chicken, right?
Always.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's it. Brother Johnny, that's what he likes to have, fried chicken and everybody good. So,
yeah. Be a little lamb.
Oh, yeah, that's what I'm too. All right. Yeah. Appreciate this. Anyone else? Brother Tim, we love you. Glad you come to be with us tonight.
Yeah.
We invite you back anytime. You still preaching on the radio?
Yes, sir.
Nursing home?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So he stays busy. Yeah. So I'm glad that he does and took time out to be with us for one night. We pray for him. Pray for him. We keep using him. Preach just about every Sunday, too. So, love him, brother. Love the growth I've seen in him over the years. My heart's and mind's bleeding. Let's stand together. We'll look to the Lord. I feel like asking you, Brother Tim. Pray the benediction for us tonight.
A gracious God, Heavenly Father. Lord, we bow just thanking you, God, for this blessed day that we've had. Thank you, Lord, for all the many blessings that you so freely give us and been mentioned. Lord, we just ask you just to be with us as we go our separate ways. Lord, be with this church trip that's in here and each home. Lord, just help us each one that we may just strive to be more Christ-like in our daily life, that we just seek you out more in our lives. Lord, that we would be that you would be pleased with this first and foremost. You will be with these revivals that are going on, will be started. We'll be with the teachers and the teaching the different Bible studies. Dear God, I'm just begging you just to help each one of us to dig into your word deeper, whether it be a preacher, a lay member, a Sunday school teacher, whatever it may be. Lord, be with those that are sick and shut in. Lord, again, just begin to your mercy upon them that are lost. Lord, help us to be prayerful for them. Help us, Lord, to pray for our country.
Yes.
The ones, dear God, that are on the mission field, wherever they may be.
Lord.
And those men and women that are fighting for our freedoms, for our needs. Again, Lord, go with us. Be God with us. We plead all this in the precious name of Jesus.
Amen. Brother Josh Gregory helping in the March revival?
Yeah, correct.
Right. Josh Gregory. Thank you.